Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Most people believe the best relationships happen by accident. A chance meeting, a lucky introduction, being in the right place at the right time. Well, my guest today would say that's exactly the problem. Nita Laird-Prasopsuk, took me a minute, but there we go, is a master certified coach, a serial entrepreneur, a TEDx organizer, and the founder of IRL, which stands for In Real Life, the world's first relationship operating system. I think that's what OS stands for, yes? She has spent over two decades at the intersection of business, psychology, and human connection, and she's on a mission to change the way the world builds relationships, not through algorithms or automation, but through intention. I think you're going to find this conversation both validating and a little challenging in the best possible way. So welcome to Relationships Rule, Nita.
Thank you, Janice. I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I just enjoyed meeting you so much. And you're coming to us from the other side of the world in Thailand.
Thailand.
Yeah. So we thank you for staying up late, but apparently you're a night owl. So I think this is the time of the night that you shine, right?
Perfect.
All right. Yeah. So let's get started. I'm going to say, okay, you call IRL a relationship OS, operating system. For someone hearing that term for the first time, how do you describe what that actually means in plain language?
Yeah, so it's just a system for you to organize and everything that's related to your relationship, organizing, nurturing, all your real relationships. So we say that other platforms or, you know, everything out there helps you connect. We don't have a problem with connecting. You can just text anyone on LinkedIn, on Instagram, anywhere, or email someone, right? Yeah. The problem is not connecting. So other platforms help you connect, but IRL helps you build relationships that last and compound.
So does it help you remember that it's time to follow up with someone you met 3 months ago, or does it give you a system for follow-up in that sense then?
It's so many functionalities that it would take probably a really long time to explain like how everything comes together. But yes, it is kind of a platform where it's basically your second brain when it comes to relationships.
I thought
right?
that was Claude. I thought Claude was my second brain.
I actually am using WhatsApp, I'm using Claude, and I'm using many other tools instead of IRL because it doesn't exist yet. And so when IRL is on the App Store, when it's released, I will probably be using it instead of the other tools.
Okay.
Specifically for relationships, right? I even got Claude to do a whole thesis on my friendship. It's called Friendship Project. It's a folder in my Claude.
Okay.
on my iMac, on my desktop. And it's quite fascinating to see the analysis and the report and like how you see how everybody's connected to everyone. Now, back in the days when we were using Excel sheets or whatever, I probably wouldn't do this manually, but because we have AI, you know, so I was just like nerding out one day and it was like, why not do analysis on all my friendships? And, you know, so that's
how. So how did you do that? Did you have to upload your address book or?
No, I don't have an address book. Oh, so okay. I use voice, you know, you can just talk to Claude.
Yes.
Just talk to it. And I do keep kind of like a document on relationships that I have, old friends, new friends and all that. But it was kind of messy. It was like on post-its and like everywhere. So I started telling Claude the entire story.
Okay.
And like, who did I meet and when and who introduced me to who? And you're also in the project.
Okay. Oh, I'm flattered. Yes.
And like, this is how I met Janice, and Janice introduced me to like these people. And So yeah, it's really interesting. I haven't finished reading it actually because it's like really a lot of detail in there. But yeah, I obsess. Like, I have several friends have told me like they've never met anyone in this entire world that is more obsessed about relationships and building
Oh, I love it.
community.
Okay, well, you talk about most people leaving their most important. Sorry. You talk about. Did you hear that, by the way? That was
I
my
did. I
phone. Oh,
did.
sorry. Okay.
It's okay.
You talk about most people leaving their most important relationships to chance. When did you realize that that was true for you personally, and what shifted? I'm just going to turn my phone off.
Well, I think it's for everyone. Not everyone, of course. There are people, and now I think both of us, we are like super connectors and we are very intentional and conscious about our relationships, right? But in the past, I would say was not always the case for me because I was just always busy and I'm an introvert. I know I like people don't think I'm an introvert, they think I'm an extrovert, but I always tell them that I'm only talking and so passionate with so much energy because I like the people that I'm talking to and I'm passionate about the topic that I'm talking about. You put me in a room with boring people, boring in from my perspective, I'll be super quiet, you know? So in the past, I was like a complete nerd. I still am a nerd, and I was just a workaholic. I cared about studies. I cared about like getting really good at what I do, being an expert at whatever I was doing, and I love solving problems. And relationships was just not something that was in my awareness. You know,
I can
my
see that.
parents didn't teach me about relationships. They didn't really like, we never had conversations about it. And I never even thought about like, okay, what kind of friends do I want to hang out with? All these kind of like things that I think people these days talk about because it's all over Instagram and it's like in the social media content, right? Like, hey, what kind of people, what kind of person do you want to become? The average of the five people that you spend the most time. Like back then we didn't have that content, right? So I just never really thought about these
So
things.
I'm sensing that you were taught or encouraged to be, or maybe not encouraged, maybe it was stronger than that, to be a good student and to learn to be good in your studies, but it wasn't that important in your family to have lots of friends, maybe. I don't know. Is that
Well, my parents weren't really like, oh, you have to be a grade A student or anything like that. They were pretty normal parents, I would say. Had like unconditional love for me and my brother and just cared about the well-being in general. But they themselves, like my dad's an architect, my mom a doctor, and it's just like they're not
high
relationship
performing?
experts, right? Yeah, and so they were not like, oh, you have to be successful or anything like that. Actually, they were pretty much very balanced in terms of work and family time. So I feel like I was lucky. But we just never talked about like relationship stuff, you know? And I really became passionate and obsessed about this when I got into the world of psychology. After
Got it.
I left the corporate world and then I built a child development center. That was when I got into child psychology. And then I'm just interested in psychology overall. But the thing that I'm most passionate about is relationships and why people do the things they do.
Yeah, very,
So that's how
yeah.
I discovered my obsession with relationships.
All right. Well, I have a framework that I use with my clients called the Real Connection System. It's built around four ideas: refreshing your presence, engaging with purpose, appreciating meaningfully, and leveraging the relationships that you already have. And so all that I do sort of revolves around these four things. It's all about relationships. So when you hear that, what resonates with you and where might you push back?
Can you repeat that again?
Yes. Refresh your presence, engage with purpose, appreciate meaningfully, and leverage the relationships you already have.
Well, I agree with all of those things.
Okay,
Yeah,
I
I
thought you
agree with
might,
your.
but yeah. So there's a difference between being strategic about relationships and being transactional. Where is that line, and how do you know when you've crossed it?
So, and I get a lot of people ask me about that because I'm always about, I'm telling people, grade your friendships, like grade your relationships. I have a grading system. So grade
System.
A, like you would grade like a student's paper, right? A, B, C,
Okay.
D, F, G, and W. And
Okay.
then I'm like, yes, there's like the law of reciprocity, but you're giving, but you're not expecting anything in return. But law of reciprocity does exist. Like you don't want it to be
Yes.
a one-sided relationship. But
And you
when you're
don't
giving,
think it's not necessarily going to come back from the same place.
exactly. And you're
Yeah.
not tracking it. You're not keeping score. You're not
Right.
like, oh, if I give them this, what are they gonna? It's not like that.
Right.
But you also want to consider that law of reciprocity is a thing. Like you can't keep giving, 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 and this person never gives you anything back. You're not gonna want to be in that relationship. And if
Right.
you still do, it's kind of weird,
Yeah.
right?
Yes.
So when I say these specific things, it tends to make, and I say be strategic and intentional about your relationships because you have limited time. That's the only resource
Yeah.
that is limited.
Yeah.
So you can't invest in every single relationship the same. It doesn't
Right.
make sense. And so people, when they hear that and they don't fully understand what I'm talking about, they will kind of like, oh, but that sounds kind of transactional. And then there's this other thing called like social exchange theory, right? It's like it talks about how every single relationship is sustainable if the input and output from that relationship makes sense for both people. And we apply that in romantic relationships, but also in every single relationship. Because if your input, you put a lot of input, but the output is not worth it, someone's gonna leave that relationship. Someone's gonna slow fade, right?
Yeah.
Of course, the person that gets more benefit gets more output than the input they're putting. Of course, they wanna stay in the relationship, right?
Of course,
But that's
yeah.
not sustainable because it's not for both people. And every time people hear me talk about social exchange theory, an investment model, all these theories that are from when you're studying economy, but also apply to relationships. Some people get triggered and some people are like, well, that sounds very transactional, you know? But if you think about it, relationships are transactional, but not in the way, not the meaning of the word transactional as we mean like, oh, I'm gonna give you this and you're gonna give me that. But
Right.
you have to get value
Yes.
from that relationship. Otherwise, why would you be in that relationship? The value doesn't mean like a monetary benefit,
Exchange or
right? It means
yeah.
like you feel heard in that relationship. You feel seen. You feel like someone appreciates you. This is the output, right? So,
Well,
yeah, I do get a lot of questions like, oh, what's the difference? And I would say that transactional is when you're thinking about what you're getting if you give this
yes.
person something. So that's transactional. But being selective and being strategic, that's different. It's you knowing your core values and what kind of people make sense for you in this stage of life. So I even have people that might be a little bit upset with me when I say I love to hang out with other entrepreneurs. I do have friends that are not entrepreneurs. I'm
Okay.
not saying I only
Yeah.
hang out
Yeah.
with people that are entrepreneurs, but at the moment, I'm building two startups. I need to spend some time with people in the tech startup space and
Yeah.
venture capitalists and, people that are investors and
Yeah.
people that have a tech background. Otherwise, if I had all the time in the world, I would spend time with, my friends that are just like, maybe we just love each other and, for whatever reasons. But at the stage of life, I'm working on my two startups. So I have limited time. So it just inspires me. It gives me lots of ideas for me to be talking to other creators or entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, or somebody building something. Because that
So
energizes me, you know?
I
But it's not
know.
coming from a judgment. It's not
Yeah.
judging people that, oh, if you're not an entrepreneur, I don't want to hang out with you, right? So
Right.
that's what I call strategic. It's like I'm making an intentional
Yeah.
decision on who I want to spend time with and invest in.
I totally get that. And what's really interesting to me is you and I met through an email. Somebody sent me, it wasn't you directly, was it? It was somebody else, I think, asking if you
And
could.
podcast agency
That's right, a
pitching
podcast agency.
me
I
on
get
the
so many,
show.
I can't remember which is which. Anyway, so I always like to meet my possible prospective guests before I decide whether they're a fit and before they decide, because otherwise it could be really a flat kind of conversation. So let that be the first and only if that's the case. So I think in my opinion, we hit it off quite well the first time. I really enjoyed talking to you. I could sense your spirit of adventure, and I could sense you're a true entrepreneur and you love creating things. And the other thing that happened for me is when I was talking to you, I could see that because I don't do this all the time. So I introduced you to a networking group that I thought might be of interest to you. Now, normally, if I'm going to introduce somebody to somebody that's already in my network, I would go to that person in my network and say, "Hey, are you okay with this? Here's somebody I'd like you to meet," because they're the person already in my database. Don't want to mess them up with, somebody they may not be interested in meeting. But I didn't feel the need to do that with you. I felt like I knew where you were, and people started coming to me that, like, we just did that with two people already today that I thought that you should meet. There's no strings attached. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but I thought, it might be something that you would find somebody you would find interesting based on what you just said, actually, that you're, obsessed right now with the startups and with the app you're building, and these other people are doing the same, that you can always learn from each other. You can find investors through each other. Who knows? Anyway, so to me, that's a really important piece that you feel that level of trust with somebody brand new. And you have a good sense of what integrity? I don't know, of reading people, I think is what more I'm saying. So that's what I love about what can happen and what I felt happened with us. So do you want to comment on that at all, or did?
And I thank you so much for doing that. And I think when we look at super connectors, it seems like we're naturally good at that. And for me, I wasn't always doing that. It came like I'm kind of a late bloomer when it comes to this like networking being a super connector. I went from like super introvert to super connector. But there definitely is a strategy, but there are things that are kind of like character traits as well, like kindness, generosity, wanting, having this abundance mindset that if I introduce someone to someone, it's not like they're taking my friend or my life is in reverse. I'm not losing anything, right? But if you have a scarcity mindset, you'll think in the opposite way. And it's also like when I break it down, because this is really interesting. Somebody was asking me, like, what does it take to be a super connector? What are the skills? What are the 20 things that I have to learn in order to be like you? And so I was really thinking, what is it, right? Is it consistency? Is it follow through? Is it generosity, kindness? And just like being, you have to be a really good listener. You have to be empathetic as well because you need to listen and you need to be able to read people and understand what are they looking for and what is this person's core value? What is their true character? And do I want to introduce this person to my valuable connections, right? And it's really like about like integrity and like their standards and do they match with this other person's standards? And do I want to make that connection? So all of this is actually logic, and it's so fast. The logic is so fast that it becomes intuition. And actually, like you're gathering data as you're talking in like a split sec microsecond. And I think it's definitely I think part of it, you're born with it. It is in your DNA. I believe a lot of things are in your personality and in you're born with it. And then the other part of it is you train yourself to do these things as well. So I think you have to really like understand and then like if you can break it down and understand and practice and also understand like okay, you don't live in a world that is like you should have an abundance mindset. You should introduce people to people because it makes the world a better place. This person's better off. This person's better off. I'm also better off because like I get to do all these things. And I think that, yeah, with all these skills, it's just we know that it's important and that we should do it. And for me, it's about telling as many people as possible the framework and how to do this, so that other people can have the awareness that I used to not have and do it too.
So I think what I'm hearing too is that, so many of these traits to be a good connector or a super connector are common sense, but they don't come naturally to everybody. And one of the things
Exactly.
you listed off a few really good ones, and the one that actually you didn't say that I feel is really important is doing what you say you're going to do.
Yes.
Right? If you say
Follow through.
follow through. Yeah, exactly. It's so important because, and this brings me to the next question. It's about reputation. You use the phrase, your reputation walks into the room before you do. What are people doing often without realizing it that is shaping that reputation in ways that can work against them? And I think that's one of the things I just mentioned, but maybe you can add to that. So your reputation walks into the room before you do. So what's shaping that reputation, that might be working against them?
Yeah, so I think we all live in a busy world today. I think we can all agree. So much noise, so much distraction. And I meet a lot of people that I know are good people. I'll just give this example. I'm not going to talk about people that are just mean and selfish and all that, right? I'm just talking about people that are actually they really want to help. And sometimes they kind of overpromise. They say, I'll do this, I'll do that for you. And they don't even think about it. They promise immediately, right? And then they end up forgetting or they don't do it. And then it becomes a habit. You do it so often, you kind of normalize the behavior.
That's a good
And this
one.
is what I've noticed in society overall. That's why we talk about people being flaky, and not following through and saying things and then forgetting or not even being responsive on text messages, right? And or replying an email, like, I don't know, like a month later or something like that. And what they don't know in terms of psychology is when you do that, when you don't reply to someone's message or you leave them like you leave them on read or whatever, the thing is you make them feel like they're not important. And people don't forget how you make them feel.
That's right. It's my favorite quote. People, the Maya Angelou quote. Do you know the quote? People will forget what you said.
So when people start doing these small things, it can start with something very small, right? I'll call you tomorrow, and then you don't call them, and then you remember like next month or something. And then you're like, oh, I totally forgot. Da, da, da. What you're communicating to them is actually like, you're not important for me to remember.
And you're not reliable.
And so all these things add up. They add up. After a while, not even after a while, the first interaction, second time you do this, third time you do this, people form a perception about you, a belief about you. And they might not think like you're a horrible person because you've done other great things as well, but they start to form a belief about you that, okay, this person is unreliable. I don't know if I can trust them if they say they're going to help me with this. And, but we don't really think about that. The average person doesn't really think about that because they think it's small things. And then I see a lot of people using the word busy as an excuse. Oh, I didn't do this because I was busy. Oh, I didn't do this was busy. It's the same excuse that we use a lot in Bangkok, which is I'm late because of the traffic. Because the traffic is a given here in Bangkok. Like if there's no traffic, that's not normal. It must be a very abnormal day. So you're late all the time and you say it's because of the traffic.
Instead of leaving
And
earlier.
even though that's true, it can be true. Like you can like going from point A to point B and usually takes 30 minutes. On some days, it could be 2.5 hours if something actually happened. So it is true, but you want to keep the traffic excuse for the days that actually happens. You don't want to use it every single day, right? But that's kind of a metaphor for like when we say we're busy. That's why I didn't reach out to you. But what you're actually saying to, or making that person feel is that they are not important enough for
That's
you to do
huge.
what you said.
Yeah, that's absolutely true because it's all about priorities. Yeah, and choices. That's true, except for the traffic in Bangkok. you talk about intentionally designing your inner circle. What does that process actually look like, and how does someone start without it feeling calculated or cold?
Sorry, can you say that again?
You talk about intentionally designing your inner circle. So what does that process actually look like, and how does someone start with it without feeling cal without it feeling calculated or cold?
Yeah. I never felt that it was calculated or cold, but it's like going back to the previous question, some people do kind of when you say, oh, this is strategic, or you're planning this, or you're grading your friendships, it does kind of make them feel like, oh, you're treating people like objects, or like depending on what they can offer you and all that. And again, I go back to the what we were talking about, that there's a difference between transactional and being strategic, right? So I would say the first thing you should do is grade your friendships. So
Okay.
ABC, very simple actually. And this, you can make the grading system work for you. This is what I use.
Yeah.
So ABCs are all your friends. These are people that I trust, people that I know have my best, like my benefit. They have my
Your best
interests at
in
heart.
heart. Yeah.
And I can trust them. It's just different levels of closeness, right? Grade A's are like family. Like you can call them at 3 a.m. if you're in a crisis. B might be maybe somebody I worked with 5 years ago, and we really get along. We would help each other. You can call me if something comes up, but not super close, not as close as the A's. And then C's is just are less close, right? And
Yeah.
then the D's are people that you don't trust. You can work with them, but you know that, okay, I can't fully trust this person.
Okay.
And the Fs are
Okay.
dangerous people. The Fs are like, you should stay away from these people because they are dangerous. And the Gs are acquaintances. So it comes from general acquaintances. And I think a lot of people always use the word friends with everybody. And I think people should stop doing that, because when you are calling someone a friend, you are endorsing them. And also, when you call them a friend, it comes with expectations. So maybe someone is your acquaintance, but you think they should do all these things for you because they are your friend, but they're not actually your friend.
Yeah.
And it's kind of normal that they're treating you this way because they are just an acquaintance, right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's important that you categorize them internally the correct way, right? As the same as you wouldn't call someone you're dating for 2 weeks your husband. Or your wife, right? It's the same thing. It
Or
should
maybe
be
not even
accurate.
your boyfriend or girlfriend after 2 weeks.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. But it comes with different sets of expectations, right? And it's not realistic. And so, and then W is you're still vetting the person. You don't know which category to put them in yet. So these are the categories, these are the grades that I go with. And for me, it's not about going to tell these people, like, what is my grade? Like going to tell people, oh, you're a grade B, you're a D, you're an F. No, it's just a system for you to know which relationships to invest in, right? And you can invest in your general acquaintances too, as long as you know why you're doing it. You don't have to be friends with everyone, and being an acquaintance is not a bad thing,
No, and
because
actually
you
that's you just said something really valuable there too. You don't have to be friends with everybody,
yeah.
right? But here's something that happens. So I had a guest on my podcast who reminded me of a former guest that I had had with the work that they were doing. And I mentioned this person to the newer guest, and he said, I'd really like to meet him. I said, well, I'll reach out to him and see if, if he, what he says, because I can't just introduce him. I have to check with this person. And this particular person said to me, he looks like a really nice guy, but I really don't have the bandwidth right now. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say no. And sometimes I take it personally, but I can't take it personally. But I also thought, wow, this person's standing up for what he believes in and knows that he doesn't need a new friend or a new colleague or a new, he's not there at this point in time. That doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it actually puts that other person in a different light somehow.
And
I
I
don't know.
understand.
I thought
Yeah.
it was an
And
interesting thing. Yeah, go ahead.
yeah. So I was gonna say, sometimes and some many times super connectors, we can't talk to everyone. We just don't have the time. I'll give you an example. Like Recently, I'm a TEDx organizer, so we just put out a pitch form for speakers to pitch their talk. And at the end of the form, I said, reach out to me on WhatsApp to tell me what your topic was so we can get connected. So it would be easier when the time comes to go to the next step, whether it's the interview process or whatever. So we have all these people reaching out to me on WhatsApp. And what's supposed to happen is they're just supposed to tell me that they pitched their talk and this is their name and this is their short intro. That's it. But then some people, of course, they wanted to meet up with me in person or on Zoom. And you can't meet with everyone, right? And I'm not saying no, I'm not gonna meet up with you, but like this specific like 2 months, I'm super busy building my startup and I'm so sorry, but I do have an interest to meet you in the future and maybe like one day, but just not now. And then you have to be really respectful and kind and honest. And I think that's much better than just ghosting them or
I agree.
ignoring the message or just leaving it like that, right? It's always better to be honest. And if you come from a good place, you're coming from a good place. I think that most of the time it will be received well if you're a good communicator and you're communicating in a good way. And if they take it personally, that's out of my influence. I can't do anything because I've done my best to communicate where I'm at. And I think that if I did the opposite, that I tried to go and meet this person, that would be out of integrity. Because I wouldn't be honest. Like, I don't want to be there, but I'm forcing myself to be there.
And that
And
would
then I'm going to
show.
resent it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
exactly.
would be tired. I'd be like, I'd show up, and because I'm honest, they'd ask, like, how am I doing? I was like, I'm so busy, actually. Like, And maybe it will even make them feel guilty. So I'm all about, like, okay, we can't be 100% like radical honesty all the time, right? But I mean, as much as possible.
Well,
And so
yeah.
that's what I think.
Well, you
Yeah.
have to protect your time as well, for sure.
Yeah,
Really,
and energy.
yeah, and your energy, exactly, especially if you're an introvert, right?
Yes,
So we're living through a really strange time right now where people are more digitally connected than ever, but lonelier than ever. So, I mean, what's gone wrong? And what does getting it right actually look like? And is your project with your IRL, is that going to help get it right?
Yes, definitely. That's a problem I'm solving. So we live in this world. I don't know, since when did Facebook launch? Maybe like 15, 16 years ago, I think. Or
Yeah,
is it 20?
2005 or
I don't
something like that.
remember.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
approximately,
I think
right?
it's 20 years, right?
Yeah, it might
Yeah.
be. Yeah.
So I think like we live in this world where we think we are so connected with everyone because we see what they eat for lunch, we see their birthday party, we see them spending time with their family, their babies, whatever. And that makes us have this illusion that, oh, we still know what's going on in their lives. We still have a really good relationship. But no, actually, there is no relationship. You just kind of know each other's names and maybe history, but you're not building anything here. And I think it definitely has this effect on us, making us think that we have all these abund like abund relationships, all these relationships, you know everyone. But then why is it the case that when it's like 3 a.m. and you have a crisis or whatever and you don't know who to call, or there's very like maybe one or two people that you can call? I think there was a research that came out that I don't know the exact percentage, but it was saying like a lot of people used to be able to call one or two people if they had a problem or crisis in life. And there was a certain percentage that went to zero now. So zero people that you can actually call. And that's very concerning.
Of course.
So I think like technology and these platforms, they are a tool. And I've met amazing people just like reaching me out to me on LinkedIn randomly. Like I don't even know them. And it turned into like the most amazing conversations and like very fulfilling in terms of like whether professionally or personally. So it's a tool and we should treat it as a tool. We shouldn't rely on it and think that this is a real relationship because it's not.
Right.
And we need to move on to the next step, right? After we've connected, what happens after that? You have to meet up with them. You have to have real conversations with them, and you have to build a real relationship, which includes supporting each other, whatever the nature of the relationship is. But those steps don't actually happen most of the time,
That's
and
true.
then we live in that illusion.
Yeah, that's very true. And some younger people, I mean, you're a younger person to me, but some young people who have always, that's all they know is doing everything with their phone. It can be quite dangerous, really, because they don't know how to react or act in real life. That's why I love the name of your app. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to I know that with the way the world is now and how it's all about the digital connections, that going back to the importance of relationships is huge right now, and the importance of caring about people and showing appreciation and being kind to other people. It's so needed in the world today. So, you've said the future. Okay. With AI changing so much about how we work and communicate, you have said that the future belongs to people who cannot be easily replicated. How do relationships factor into that?
So when we say humans or people that cannot be easily replicated by AI or by like all these technology and all these things, right? I always talk about how kindness, authenticity, generosity are powerful currencies. Because the more rare it is, the more powerful it is.
Yes.
Because it is something that's rare, and when somebody encounters it, right? It's very valuable because it stands out and it's different. And even like when people are creating content these days and trying to copy everybody, that we've seen that. We don't like when ChatGPT or Claude or whatever creates copy that sounds, it just looks the same on everybody's posts. It looks the same.
Right,
It sounds the
right.
same with all the M dashes and all that.
Yeah.
And it's come to a point where it's a turnoff now. Nobody wants to see that because it's like, okay, I'm just reading what AI wrote, right? So we don't want to see things that are manufactured in that way. And so even when you're creating content, I'm telling people, like, just be yourself, like, be imperfect because that's
Yes.
valuable now to be imperfect. It used to be the case that you should be perfect, like, be
Yes.
perfect on camera and like look perfect, use the filters, whatever. But now AI looks so perfect. That we're trying to make the visuals or the videos that AI make, try to make it look more realistic by making it imperfect, right?
Yeah.
So now being human, like being more human, the more human you are, that's like you're gonna stand out, and that's gonna be even more valuable now that there's so much like AI content and AI stuff out there. And this humanness and authenticity and being imperfect, these are the things that I believe is going to be more valuable and people are going to appreciate it. So it's kind of like very different from how we tried to be. We tried to be perfect, right? And now it's kind of the opposite. I think people will be looking for people to be more human, more
That's so
human.
funny because that means it's really like about going back to a time that most people don't remember or didn't experience in your generation, where before we had all this stuff, and so you couldn't show the perfect side because there was nowhere to show that. You just were who you were. And also what was the other thing I was going to say about that? It seems whenever I'm talking or listening to something to do with AI or learning something new about an AI platform, you hear that term now. It's so like human. There's the human assistant and there's the AI assistant. There's the human and the digital. And so the human thing is being touted all the time as if it's something new and different, right? Because we're going back to saying, just be yourself. Doesn't matter if you make a mistake. It's okay. It makes you human. And it's just so interesting that now that's a focus we have to pay attention to. For me,
Let's
anyway.
be like Perfect. Let's try to
Yeah. Well,
be
I mean,
perfect.
you look at Instagram is all about being perfect, to me, Facebook is about just, being more personal and opening up to the mundane things that you do every day that nobody really cares about, but that's how that started. And Instagram is about the perfect look. It's not about the real thing, and I don't believe, but anyway, it's good for daydreaming. It's like reading a People magazine to my mind. That's what it's like. But and I don't mind doing that. I like doing that. But you've got to put it in perspective. Okay, I asked you that question. So for someone listening right now who knows that their relationships are their greatest asset, but have never really treated them that way, what's the one place to start?
The one place to start, well, after you grade your relationships and you look at who your grade A, grade B, grade C's are, one thing I think that you could do, like if you want to expand your circle, you look at your grade A's because your grade A's, your grade A people will introduce you to other grade A people. And
Yes.
just go out and ask them, like, hey, do you have other friends that you think would be a good fit for me? Or like, I'm looking for XYZ. Do you know anyone that would be a good fit for me? You know, like these things. And people don't like to do that because it makes them look awkward, it
You don't like
seems.
to ask, you mean?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. What do you mean go and ask people to introduce them to their friends? Like, am I trying to, and there's this thing called friend poaching, apparently, where
Oh.
people are kind of like, are you trying to steal my friend? You
Oh, really?
know?
Never heard that one. Okay.
I saw something on Instagram about that, which I never
Okay.
thought about that, right? I think that's why this is like the first time we've heard about this, but it is a thing where people like are operating out of scarcity and thinking like, oh, if this friend gets together with this friend, I'm losing a friend and they're gonna stop wanting to be friends with me. They're gonna go and hang out and be together and I'm gonna be left out. So it's kind of like a fear of losing a friend, fear of missing out. I don't know what it is, but
Well,
it's
that's being
just
insecure, though. That's being in a,
It is,
yeah,
it
being
is, it is.
insecure.
It definitely from insecurity and a scarcity mindset. And because if somebody didn't want to be friends with me and they wanted to hang out, like I introduced someone to someone, that's great. It just means that they're a better fit. And I have other friends. So if you have lots of friends, you're not going to be scared to lose anyone. You'd be
Right.
happy for them. So that's really about having an abundance mindset and kindness and generosity. And I would say, like, if you are like operating from a scarcity mindset, then start to look at that. Where is it coming from? Like, where did that come from? Because you can work on that. And yeah, so that's just one of the things. Secondly, be the friend you want to be. Like, be the friend that you want,
Yes.
right? Because as you evolve and you become more of that person intentionally, because it requires work and it requires all these things that you have to do, you'll start to attract people that are like that. By starting with you being those things, right? If you
Yeah.
want someone that invests in you, first, like invest in other people,
I
help
used to
other
tell
people, support other people.
My kids to have a friend, you need to be a friend.
Yeah,
Yeah. And
exactly.
that's something they have to grow to understand, I think, and learn. And for some, it doesn't come as easily as others. So it's something you have to teach them in a way what that means when they're young, right? So
Yeah.
yeah, and it's all about the things we're talking about, about being kind and showing appreciation and feeling good about introducing people to other people when you know it's a
Yeah.
good fit and when you know it just feels good. At least it does for me. I love that.
Yes,
Well,
yeah. So, like, I think a lot of people know that they want to have good friends, but they're not showing up consistently themselves as a good friend. So it starts
right.
with you. And if
Exactly.
you want people to make introductions for you, you have to make introductions for other people first. Like, why would you want to wait for other people to do something before you act? That goes back to being transactional,
Yes.
right? And I
Yes.
think, and I've seen this, that when you are transactional, you attract other people that are transactional, and that's who you end up becoming friends with. And like a lot of people don't like that, but
Right.
then looking back at yourself, maybe you are being transactional. Maybe you're worried, you're trying to protect your resources and not give it to anybody unless
Right.
they're giving me something.
Yeah.
And I don't think it All the time, it always comes from like this bad intention or anything. Sometimes it comes from like this scarcity mindset and wanting to hoard your resources. But I find that it does come from childhood experiences, from the way you saw all your parents operate and all those things. But that's like the healing journey. That's the inner work that you have to do.
That's true. Well, this has been a lot. It's been a great conversation, and I hope it's given the audience something to think about. I suspect it has. The idea that relationships are not something that just happened to us, but something we can build with real intention, is at the heart of everything that I believe about business and life. So, for my audience, if you want to learn more about Nita and her work with IRL, I will put some links in the show notes. You want to just tell us quickly where they can find you, though, Nita?
So they can go to my website to sign up to get on the wait list for IRL. Just go to nitalerd.com and then there's a tab for IRL. And we're gonna put up the website for IRL soon, but that's where people are going for now. And there's also an Instagram in real IRL.app.official. That's for in real life IRL. And my personal LinkedIn and personal Instagram, people can also reach out to me as well.
Perfect. So it's pretty exciting. You're getting close, right? To you're waiting for Apple, right? Yeah. If today's conversation resonated with you, and please share it with someone in your network who needs to hear it. This is how relationships grow. And until next time, keep building the relationships that matter. And thanks for being here, Anita.
Thank you, Janice.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.